The enemy has no right to tell you what you can and cannot do. He's not in charge. God is. Satan has already been defeated, but he will keep on trying because of the flames of hell are licking at his feet. Tell him to get used to it. He wants to steal your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's important for us to read God's word and find out how much joy is in it for us. He delights in those whose heart is stayed on him. You know, throughout all life's difficulties, we're looking at him. It'll go a lot better. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. He wants to steal your peace, your contentment. He'll try to compare your situation to someone else and believe you've been shortchanged. Remember, again, see Job, comparison destroys contentment. God knows what's best for you. You might think, I need a new truck like that person has a new truck, but you don't need it. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. In other words, as my dad would say, don't sweat the small stuff. I know that aged me, my dad would be 90. How am I doing, Dad? Enough of that. Psalm 94 says, he will rise up. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers? God's asking us, will you stand? Who will stand in the gap? Will you do it? Are you willing? Our flesh is weak, but our God is all-powerful. We need to trust him with everything. One example that comes to mind is in Genesis 6. It was Noah. God told him to build a boat. He did it with all the men and women in his family. God told him how to build it, and he gave him all the specs for it. I believe it was over 100 years they worked on that ark. 100 years? Think about that the next time your contractor's taking a little too long. Okay, I'll hold you to that. 100 years? Okay. He endured much contempt and ridicule from the bullies of his time. They didn't waver once. One day, the bullies noticed something was happening in the sky that never happened before. Perhaps it was going to rain. Someone was digging in the sand, and an ant popped up and started walking toward the ark. Shortly, another ant popped up and followed his mate toward the ark. Maybe it was going to rain. Now they were getting nervous. So they went to see Noah, and they jostled the old boy. They said, hey, Noah, between hammer blows, he goes, what do you want? The bullies answered, hey, Noah, do you want to sell your house? No, he said. They were relieved to hear him say that. But then he said, I'll give it away. My house, my car, everything, because he knew what was coming. He didn't waver. He said, you can have it all. Then the bullies started to get really nervous, but still their hearts were hardened. Remember, God could find only one good man. Are you ready to stand up, the biggest bully of all, and take the devil? You can with God's help. Samuel tells us David was another example who stood in the gap. He was a shepherd boy who killed lions and bears protecting sheep with a sling and a stone. I don't know about you, but I would feel totally undergunned. He'd be like one of our precious little boys in our church taking on Todd, Ethan, Josh. Not very good odds. Not very good at all. Or even old men like me. He wasn't about to let the bully, Goliath, defy the army of the Lord. He was daring him to take possession of it. Think about how small he was compared to how big Goliath was. It didn't matter to David. A saying my dad repeated many times, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. We know how this fight ended. David won, Goliath dead. Moses was another example of someone who stood up to a bully for the Lord. He faced the most powerful bully in the world, and God honored that. Pharaoh certainly came out on the short end of the stick that time, after the smoke cleared. Most powerful man in the world at that time. I'm almost done, so I'm hoping to hang in there. Lastly, should you ladies think I've forgotten you, I haven't, because it all begins in the womb. And I'm thankful Mary birthed Jesus. And I'm thankful all these men had mothers who loved them and cared for them. You placed others above yourselves time after time. What a sacrifice. You put aside your life for someone else. My mother did, and I'm forever grateful. Seriously, did you think a man with a beautiful wife and 8 beautiful daughters? Hang on. Could forget about all the wonderful women in the world. Yes, I used to have hair too. Oh, wait a minute. There's a few foreheads and five heads out there. Maybe a couple of shiny six heads, so don't laugh too much. It's okay. I'm sorry. On a side note, before my last surgery after my brain transplant, you knew there was something different, but you couldn't put your finger on it. I was given some painkillers above my knee. I think they were mistaken when they called them blockers, because they should have been called pain inducers. Us men are wimps. The anesthesiologist kept asking, where's it hurt? And they put the syringe in about that far so they could get where they needed to go. I, calmly as I could, as I was tearing the gurney apart, where you're stabbing me. He wanted to make sure he didn't hit a nerve and really make it hurt. Actually, I think the screen was, there's two anesthesiologists working together. We're watching with some kind of dartboard. I don't think that was that funny. I gotta quit. Why do you think they put all those marks on your limb that to make sure that they operate on the correct one, right? You've heard that. Maybe they're playing a little tic-tac-toe to pass the time. I think that those skull caps they wear cover up triple sixes on their forehead. I was going to check it out, but I was too afraid. After all, they had all the needles. If that pain was anything like childbirth and us men had to go through it instead of women, we would quickly become extinct. I don't care what you think. I know that's true. Are we willing to trust God with everything, no matter what it is or what we have? If the enemy can keep you from seeing the blessings, he will. I mean, look at that blessing that young fellow is. He's still singing today. I mean, just, yeah. Something small sometimes hides something much bigger. Like, you put your finger in front of a camera lens, you can mess up the whole picture. You're trying to make a big picture, and somebody puts their thumb or their hand in front of your lens, and you can't see it. Kind of like you can't see the forest for the trees. Remember, don't sweat the small stuff. And Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can stand against us? Not the enemy. That's it.
Good morning. Start with a brief prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your word. I ask that you'd help me to speak your words clearly and that you would reach into each of our hearts and help us learn something that will help us grow closer to you. Amen. Encouraging the saints is sort of the topic of my sermon and what we're trying to accomplish as a trio of speakers this morning. So let's start with kind of a word picture thing. Imagine that you're sitting beside Jesus on a bench in the park. You look over at Jesus. What is he doing? What do you think Jesus would ask you? What do you think he might say to you? It is amazing that Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit are actually in our lives, present with each of us that loves Jesus. If we can kind of recall that, have that frame of mind, it may help us to walk with Jesus throughout our daily life, and especially when we struggle. God is also in our life when we pray for and try to love others. Whether it's a friend who's struggling, a family member, or even a stranger. Some scripture to help encourage us in times that we may struggle or are trying to encourage another who's struggling. Ephesians 3:14-21. I think the version on the screen is different than what I'm reading, so you'll have to kind of interpolate. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So, pondering and thinking about that passage, as you're on that park bench looking at Jesus, it's possible you may, just from being with Jesus, learn some of the things in that passage, and that's how I kind of set this up. You might see the riches of his glory, verse 16. You might be strengthened with the power of his spirit in your inner man. You might see that Christ dwells or may dwell in your heart through faith. And if you think about Jesus dwelling in your heart, that's far closer than just sharing a park bench with Jesus. As you're spending time with Jesus, you may become more rooted and grounded in love, where your roots and your foundation are so deep that you're unshakable. You may be able to better comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. There's three dimensions, like a rectangle. You got your height, width, and depth. And in this one, it has four dimensions. Breadth is kind of like width, whatever. So I thought maybe it's talking about, envision that not only is Jesus on a park bench with you, but people in China or Mongolia, all around the world, all at the same time, can be intimate with Jesus in their heart, in their lives. And the Bible calls that, well, the word we use to call it is omniscience. I made up the word of everywhereness. Continue on with verse 19. As we're with Jesus, we may better know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, which is kind of a paradox or some such. I don't think it's an oxymoron, but you can't possibly know the unknowable, and yet that's kind of the challenge we have as Christians, is to get to know this being that is not completely knowable because of his, for lack of a better word, immensity. Verse 19 also talks about being filled up to the fullness of God. Imagine you're driving into the filling up station. It wouldn't be gas, it would be a fullness station, and just telling the attendant to fill up your tank with fullness, whatever that is. Verse 20, he who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think. Think of an interest of yours, something that's really interesting to you. Then I want you to imagine the best possible scenario of that. And then go beyond that. Imagine beyond the best that you just imagined. Then imagine abundantly beyond all that. If that hasn't stressed you enough, now imagine far more abundantly beyond all that you can ask or think. I don't know, that's a lot to me. And it says in the Bible, in that verse 19, he is able to do far more than we can imagine. So if you're struggling, or someone you're attempting to help, loved one or friend or stranger, draw on that strength that nothing is beyond his ability. Another section of scripture to help us through tough times, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are as in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or, if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. I don't know about all of you, but to me that's a little confusing, that passage. I'll try to break it into little pieces as I see it. Sometimes we do go through hard times, and God is there for us. In verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 1, Paul blesses God, and he says we should also. Blessing God means to praise enthusiastically or worship, according to Google. Paul is encouraging the Corinthians, and indirectly us, to bless God. In verse 4, Paul says that God comforts Paul and his fellow missionaries when they're afflicted, so that they can comfort those that are afflicted with the same comfort that they themselves received. Like the Corinthians, we too are and can be comforted and can comfort others because of what Jesus does through us and in us. Don't put the burden of comforting others on yourself. That's overwhelming. It'll burn you out fast. Let God do that through you. To me, my personal challenge with that is to try to get out of the way so that it don't interfere with God's love flowing through me. Sometimes the American value system of I can do it myself, I don't need any help, interferes with my spiritual growth and my spiritual service. Small tangent. Verse 5. Paul tells us, as well as the Corinthians, that he and his helpers have the sufferings of Christ in abundance, but their comfort is also abundant. So too, we have this comfort in Christ. In verse 6, Paul wrote to the Corinthians that if he and his companions are afflicted, it is for the comfort and salvation of the Corinthians. And in addition, if Paul and his companions are comforted, it's for the comfort of the Corinthians. He said this is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings that he and his fellow workers suffer. So likewise, God uses our affliction to comfort us that we may comfort others. That kind of stretches my brain, but that's what the Bible teaches, I believe. Verse 6 also says that he is afflicted for the comfort and salvation of the Corinthians, and by implication for us. How can we then use our affliction for the comfort and even the salvation of others? I don't have a clearer answer to that, but I wrote it this way. We can do this, but only through the power of Christ through us. God can use us to do those things. You know, we can't save anyone. I don't even think we can comfort anyone very well without the Lord's help. Remember, only God can change someone's heart. Verse 7. Paul said that their hope for the Corinthians, that would be Paul and his companions, fellow missionaries, is firmly grounded because they know that the Corinthians share their sufferings and the Corinthians will also share in the comfort. Each of the points Paul makes of himself and the Corinthians is true for us also, in that we all share the same God and Father of Jesus. Okay, only one page left. Hang in there. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these. In the Barnes notes of the Bible Hub, Barnes said regarding the doing of all these things in Philippians 4:8, quote, think on the influence they would have on the world around you, end quote. It's kind of encouraging for me to think about the more we live out those characteristics, we can be more and more of a blessing to others in the world around us. So then thinking about Ephesians 3 and 2 Corinthians 1 and Philippians 4:8, that will help us to focus on God's truth rather than being distracted by things like worries, sadness, or even the lies that Satan might whisper or even scream at us. So I encourage each of us to treasure the verses that we talked about today, but other verses that you've learned or memorized or already used. And then keep in mind there's verses in the Bible probably that you've read, but you haven't yet really understood, like you will one day, as we go through different stages, I find verses mean something to me that I didn't know before. So look for God to meet you where you are. Knowing that God has prepared you for the moment he is with you in the moment. Let's try that again. As we realize that God prepared us for the moment we're in, and that he is in that moment with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and is willing to help and even carry you through whatever you face. That's a tremendous encouragement to me, and I encourage you to appropriate that for yourselves. Now, after all that and whatever else you've already learned in your life, imagine yourself sitting on that park bench, but it's not with Jesus this time. He's in your heart, but you're sitting on the bench with a friend or a neighbor or a stranger. You are imitating Jesus. When the other person looks over at you, what are you doing? What do you think Jesus would have you ask that person? And what do you think Jesus would have you say to that person? Thank you very much.
Good morning. Pastor Eric asked me to talk a little bit about 1 Peter 5:6-11, so I'm going to read that. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'm just going to talk a little bit about how I feel this applies to me. So, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Sometimes for myself, I have a hard time admitting that I need help. I want to fix the problem myself. I'm a smart, capable person. Why do I need to be humble? Then it hits me. Everything I have and have done is because our Father has blessed me. I'm blessed to be a farmer because I get to see how he's in control with everything, the weather, the crops, watching baby calves survive and thrive even in 20 degree below temperatures. Sometimes I forget about being humble because my pride gets in the way. Verse 7 says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Everything from a stubbed toe to the loss of a child or a spouse, a loved one diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Nothing is insignificant to our God. Verse 8 and 9 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. There are many ways the devil tries to invade and destroy us. I believe we need to be careful what we watch on our TV, phones, everything we do. I think back to when a couple friends and I went racing one weekend. That night they both drank too much, and the next morning didn't remember the night. I think that's a good chance for the devil to encourage sinful behavior. Sometimes I get bursts of anger, leaves my mind open to saying things that I shouldn't. The best thing for me in that moment is to pray or sing a song. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I believe to be alert and sober-minded and resist the devil, we need to read the Bible, spend time praying, hang out with brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to witness to non-believers too. So I'm not saying only to hang out with Christians, but during tough times when you're really struggling with something, it might be best to hang out with brothers and sisters in Christ. Hopefully they can encourage. Maybe just a listening ear or a verse like John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will have everlasting life. Verse 10 and 11 say, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered for a little while will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. We know God promises to restore us. This is the hard part. We pray and wait for the Lord to heal. Some will be healed quickly, others longer. There will be some that it seems like one problem after another. I thank the Lord for knowing some people like this, and their positive attitude has encouraged me greatly. Jerry and Elaine Boucher come to mind. They've had a lot of struggles. Whenever I see them, they're always smiling and encouraging, and it's just great people to know. If you're going through something like this and seems like it's never going to end, remember his promise to restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Remember, we have an awesome God. A really tough time for me was when Jolene was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. I turned to prayer and asking all my friends to pray. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God and Jesus Christ for you. So again, during tough times, I would encourage spending time in prayer, reading the Bible, trying to surround yourselves with Christian family or friends during tough times. Todd's going to put a picture up on the screen. You can count the stars. What we see from one spot on Earth is about half the stars. I'm going to read this verse, Isaiah 40:26. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Isn't our God incredible? Matthew 10:29-31 says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. God loves us. Cindy's going to help me sing a song that really means a lot to me and just helps me look forward to getting through this life. Oh, and it's hymn 542. It's kind of an old song, but it's a new one, but if you guys want to sing the choruses, after the first verse, there's one chorus, and the second verse, there's two choruses. So.
Oh. see face to face. Jesus is then a greater vision of grace. And in a moment we shall be changed. Yes, in a moment we shall be changed. And in a moment we shall be changed on the day.
Sing and shout the victory. Thank you.